This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Today would have been writer Octavia E. Butler's 73rd birthday. Butler was a decorated writer who specialized in science fiction. She won 2 Hugo Awards and was awarded the MacArthur Fellowship in 1995. To her readers, she may be best known and most beloved for bringing characters like her, African-American women, to the center of her stories and revolutionizing her genre in the process. She once told the New York Times, quote, "I wrote myself in, since I'm me and I'm here and I'm writing. I can write my own stories and I can write myself in." Joining me now for a look at the life, work, and legacy of Octavia Butler is Natalie Russell. She's assistant curator of literary collections at the Huntington Library, Art Museum, and Botanical Garden. She curated a 2017 exhibit called Octavia E. Butler, Telling My Stories, and she continues to work in the archive of Butler's papers, which are housed at the library. Natalie, welcome to All of It.
Thank you.
What sets Octavia Butler's writing apart?
Wow. Well, I think two of the most amazing things about Butler's writing are her characters and the authenticity that she brings to her worlds. And she does that through extensive research. So she's both researching the people, the characters, and the depth that she brings to these characters, and the worlds that she creates within them, even though she's often creating fantastic, science fiction, futuristic, or even historical worlds. She's done the research into those worlds to make them as real as possible, to give them a reality that you can believe in, even when she's presenting you with fantastic ideas.
I said you work in the archive of her papers. What's something in the archive that you've seen that really gets to who she was as a writer and what she wanted to accomplish?
Butler was extremely reflective, I think. She kept notebooks that she would use for a variety of purposes. Sometimes she was it was a writing book. Sometimes she used it as a journal. These are just simple spiral-bound notebooks. Sometimes they're pocket size. Sometimes they're more of a standard writing size. She would also write grocery lists in them or directions on how to take the bus to go to her next speaking event. Really just anything she needed them for. But in these, you get an extremely deep picture of both her as a person, her reflections on herself, her writing, her concerns, current events, as well as how she begins to weave that into her writing. She once talked about, if you're a writer, you don't need a shrink, she said, because you can put all of your garbage into your writing. That was the way that she processed things.
How would you describe her personality?
I never had the chance to meet Butler, but I sometimes tell people that I met her in her papers. Mm-hmm. Getting to read these very personal diary-like entries gives you a sense of the inner person that she may or may not have even shared with her friends, which is an amazing kind of trust to be able to see that. And I think she was a perspiration, not inspiration person. You know, she never believed that she was something special or a genius, at least the way she presents it in her archive. And she said it was all about the work, that she just needed to sit down and write more, and that writing was rewriting, it was editing, it was putting in the time, not just waiting for the muse to inspire you. I think she was wrong. I think she was a genius, but she certainly put in the work. She believed that it was trial and error and effort and pure tenacity that was going to get her where she wanted to go, and that is inspirational.
I want to play a clip from a 2000 interview with Octavia Butler where she was asked if she was an optimist or a pessimist. Here's what she had to say.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I don't think... Okay, what I've noticed about the human species over my lifetime, yeah, Butler's words of wisdom, is that we do tend to go to the edge more often than we ought to. You know, we go to the edge and then we look and we realize, my God, that's a precipice. We could fall over, we could die, and we draw back. The problem is with something like global warming, you can't just draw back and make it okay. With nuclear war, you can. I mean, the Soviet Union decided not to exist any longer. So we're probably not going to have a nuclear war, at least not for a generation or two, until someone else decides that it might be a really fun thing to do. But with global warming, after you've spent over a century messing things up, by the time you decide to fix it, your grandchildren might see some results, but chances are you won't.
What was the emotional toll on her spending so much time creating universes and living in environments as a writer that she was writing, which were kind of bleak sometimes?
You know, she did address that. I've seen her talk about how difficult it was to write Kindred, how she felt like she had to draw back, in fact, on some of the brutality and violence that should inhabit that historical world, because the reader simply couldn't handle it. It was too much. And that Parable the Sower and Parable the Talents, in creating these dystopian futures, that they were a warning. They were the, I hope this doesn't happen, but this is one possibility if we keep doing all the things that we're doing to the environment. In particular, climate change is certainly one of the issues in that novel. And she often talked about having to do something fun, something for herself afterwards, because these novels were very bleak and they were tough. Fledgling was one of those things. After Parable of the Talents, she writes her vampire novel. She wanted to write a book that she wanted to write, something that was fun. And yet you read Butler's vampire novel, you read Fledgling, and it still inhabits that authenticity, black ideas, identity, ageism, gender, sexuality, all of these issues that Butler was concerned about in the world. And she was able to deal with it in a little more positive, perhaps, or at least in a different kind of engaging story.
We're talking about the work, the life, legacy of Octavia Butler on what would have been her 73rd birthday. My guess is Natalie Russell. I think I have a co-interviewee over there, Natalie. Who do I hear?
Yes, my seven-month-old daughter is chiming in now and again here.
That's wonderful. We're happy to have her as well. There's a great story about how Octavia Butler started writing as a young girl, a young woman. She was a girl. She had seen something or read something, and she thought, oh, I could do better than that. And she started sending her work
Absolutely.
To publishers when she was 13 years old. How long did it take her to get a story published?
She didn't get a story published until 1970. She sold her first story when she was at the Clarion Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Workshop, which was an experience that she always hearkened back to as critical in her development. She had met through a different workshop Harlan Ellison, a science fiction writer, who encouraged her to go to this workshop and, in fact, helped her to get there, where he was one of a number of teachers, each teaching kind of a week on a workshop. And that's where she sells her first story. But it's another 5 years before she sells her first novel, to Doubleday in 1975, and it's published in 1976. So it was a long row to hoe.
Mm-hmm. And that was the Pattern Master. It was sort of the first in the Patternist series. What was the initial response to Octavia Butler's work?
You know, I think a lot of it was kind of, well, this is just another science fiction writer. People thought it was kind of good and bad. I read a review of Pattern Master where it was kind of mediocre, but talked about a few poignant moments that were, it really kind of stood out, a couple of characters. And it's interesting, in Pattern Master, you may not even realize that some of the characters are written as black. Mm-hmm. And Butler didn't have her photograph on her books, so you didn't know that it was a black woman. And in fact, later, her fans talked about not realizing that it was a black woman author writing these books until after they looked for more of her works and started researching her. But they would open a book, they were interested in science fiction, and they would see themselves, exactly what Butler had tried to do in writing herself in, that wonderful quote you used earlier from the New York Times, that people saw themselves in the books. And that's why Butler started writing them, because she wanted to see herself in the stories that she loved. And as people began to discover her work, it really just grew and grew. And I think by the time Kindred is published, which is actually her fourth novel, you could tell that there was something different. She sets aside all her work, all her kind of menial, low-paying jobs that she's trying to scrape by with, and to say, I have to be a writer, and to do that, I have to do this full-time. And she does that for Kindred, and from then on, come hell or high water, that's her career. She is a writer. And that fan base begins to grow. The demand for her works begins to grow, and quite frankly, I don't think it stopped yet.
I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, but in those initial first years of having her first books, was it her choice not to include her photo, or was publishing trying to downplay the fact that she was a black woman?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I do know that I've seen evidence of kind of the covers And you can see that the cover art often doesn't picture the characters as black, even when they're very clearly drawn as black. And whether that was an intentional choice by the publisher or that was simply an illustrator given a blurb from the book who had no concept that the characters are supposed to be black and nobody told them otherwise. So there were certainly challenges that Butler faced, whether they were intentional or whether it was her choice. She was a very private person, so the choice not to have her photograph on the book may well have been hers. But it was certainly part of some of the challenges, again, that she faced, whether it be outward or unintentional, kind of racist ideas about what science fiction was supposed to be.
My guest is Natalie Russell, Assistant Curator of the Literary Collections at the Huntington Library. We're talking about the life, work, and legacy of Octavia Butler on what would have been her 73rd birthday. Her books touch on climate change, mass incarceration, gun violence, big pharma. In one, she created a politician who runs on a platform to make America great again. What do you think it was about her? I mean, she seems prescient in so many ways and eerily accurate.
It does seem remarkable, especially that she's kind of nailed some issues that seem so relevant to today, even though she was writing them 10, 20, 30 years ago or more. I think she spent a lot of time thinking. She was concerned about the world. She called herself a news junkie. She was constantly following current events. She was reflecting on the world around her. And she would use a prompt sometimes that said, if this goes on, you know, if this goes on, what might happen? And it was a way for her, again, to process these ideas, but also for her to find hope. You know, she wanted to be able to look at the future and say, this isn't the end of the world. Humanity isn't going to destroy itself, even if we almost destroy itself, like it does in the Xenogenesis novel, Dawn, when aliens have to rescue humans. At least that's one interpretation of what the aliens have done. She wanted to find, she did believe in the human spirit, in humans' ability to find new ways. And I think she's often creating new kinds of community. She's encouraging her characters and thereby encouraging her readers to find a new way to have community, to find a new normal that works for you, to find a way forward for goals, and something that really helps people come together and help each other, and to see a world that includes everyone, whatever the color of their skin. You see that in her novels. She said sometimes it's like, oh, black people. I had an editor tell me that you only needed to put black people in your novels if you wanted to talk about, race, and you can do that with aliens. And she said, well, I'm not putting black people in my novels to talk about race. I'm putting my black people in because I'm black. She also has Latinx people in there. She also has Asian people in there. She looked at the future and thought, the future's not going to be all white. The future is going to be more diverse. If anything else, that's the world I see around me. Why would that cease to be? So she creates a way for people to think about how to be the best of ourselves and find something new out of that diversity and use that as a strength.
Artist Kara Walker said that Octavia Butler is one of her inspirations. There are people who have observed that Beyoncé's visual album Lemonade draws from Butler's work. What has been her impact beyond literature?
Oh, incredible. In the archive, I see this constantly. Of course, we have scholars and professors, faculty members, university. They're looking at her work from a very scholarly perspective, but not just from literature. They come looking for gender and race and even medicine and science, all the kinds of things that she would research to put into her novels. People are looking at her work for those issues and how she incorporates society and culture in her work. But it's also been used by artists and people creating performance art, music, hopefully at some point in the future, television or film. We know that some of her works are under option and they may eventually make it to the big screen here. But we've had visual artists come and use the archive. And of course, those that haven't used the archive, but just her work and her words is enough. I've seen it inspire school children. Yeah. And a whole generation, really two generations of authors. You know, Butler went to a conference in 1996, I believe it was, which is that all the black science fiction writers in the world, or at least in the country, were all on the same stage as panelists. There was five of them.
That's amazing.
And you certainly can't say that anymore. She inspired those writers who inspired a generation.
My guest has been Natalie Russell. She's been helping us understand the legacy of Octavia Butler. Natalie, thank you so much for joining us on all of it.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.